very evident from the beginning of chapter 3 that Jonah was a man who the Lord was going to use. That should have been something that encouraged him, as it would encourage you and I, if we feel that the Lord can use us in any way. In fact, many a time in our prayer meeting, we just say to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me something to do in the great work of the Lord." But Jonah was given a great message to deliver. It's found there at the beginning of chapter 3, to go to the city of Nineveh and to speak to them. But he didn't want to go. And when you look at this in a human way, he had every reason to dislike the people that God was sending him to. The people, the Ninevites, they were a notoriously wicked people. They had known a lot of prosperity, as the wicked often seem to. And they had grown, and they had themselves highly organized, and they were a threat to the national security of Jonah's own people. So you and I can understand that on a human level, he didn't really like them very much, and he didn't have a lot of time for them. Their city was a pagan one. They were very hardened, idolatrous people. But God, the Holy Spirit, had prepared the hearts of these Ninevites so that when Jonah went with the message from the Lord, when he went preaching the word of God, the message penetrated their hearts. No doubt in a way that Jonah never thought would have happened or could have happened. He may have entertained those thoughts. But they repented of their sins. And whenever you look here, brethren and sisters, at chapter 3 in the book of Jonah, this ought to encourage every believer here to pray for revival blessing. Speaking to John and Philip on our way back from Presbytery in the middle of the night, well, it was nearly the middle of the night, on Friday night it was late. We had John Douglas's eyes popped up with two matchsticks to make sure he stayed awake and listened to what we were saying. But seriously, we were speaking on the way home about the awful state of things and how it is for our boys and girls growing up and how we're not happy about it and we don't like it. But then we mentioned to them that when you read about the 1859 revival, when there was hardly a meal in many houses in Ireland, that the bottle of whiskey wasn't on the table. And everything, there was debauchery everywhere, and things were at an all-time low. Then the Lord came in such blessing and revival that pubs had to close everywhere because people had turned from the drink and from other things as well to the Lord. There was a tremendous, genuine move. And that's exactly what had happened here in the time of Jonah. If you look there in verse 6 and take time yourself to read from there on to the end of chapter 3, you will see that there was conviction, there was brokenheartedness because of sin, and there was the cry of the penitent everywhere. And there was great joy as well. Great joy as their lives were transformed and these men and women become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I've been thinking about what the Reverend Martin mentioned just the other night in the mission, and he said about Nineveh, when they repented, about a million souls being saved in one day. And I've been thinking about that ever since. On and off. A million souls converted in a day. That was a genuine move of the Lord. And it ought to help every one of us to continue to pray that the Lord would do such a thing again in our land here in our own day and generation. But the seemingly impregnable idolatry of the people, it was destroyed. And we have before us one of the greatest genuine moves of God that has ever been recorded. One of the greatest genuine moves of God that there has ever been. Truly it was for Nineveh a time of divine visitation. Now the destruction which had been threatened against that people was removed and Nineveh were spared. And if you put yourself in Jonah's shoes for just a minute or two, if you're a preacher especially, you may think, well, here's a man and he's seen transformed homes. He sees lives that are completely turned around and redirected. He sees a great turning from idols to God. Jonah had every reason to be the happiest preacher on the planet. In fact, he should have been when he saw what had happened. For in spite of the wickedness of these people, God had been pleased to use him in an astonishing way. The Lord Jesus even referred to it in Matthew 12, the preaching of Jonah. The Lord used him. He's an ordinary man, but the Lord used him in a special way. But happiness was not his lot. And as you read there in chapter 4, where we read together, particularly verses 4 through to the end of verse 8, you have a picture of a very unhappy man. Then in some of the verses there, that the Lord had prepared a gird. You'll read about that in the verses. It was a little plant that grew in Palestine. When I say little, it was a castor bean plant. It grew to about 10 or 12 feet high. It had very broad leaves. It was a little bit like a palm tree. And under the gird, we have Jonah sitting. He's sheltering from the sun. And he's so full of resentment and bitterness and jealousy. In fact, he's as full of that as any man could be. In verse 1 of chapter 4, we read how he was displeased, but you and I, by simply reading the word displeased, we cannot really understand just how much resentment was in this man. Because that word displeased, he was absolutely seething with anger. The anger burned in him and took away all of his joy that should have been there when revival came. And I want just for a moment or two to mention to you this morning, jealousy and resentment, the thieves of joy. Jealousy and resentment, the thieves of joy. And we want to listen to this because this has been a special time for this congregation and for Lisburn as well. And as I thought of what Mr. Martin said the other night about a million people converted in a day, and I thought of me and all the vulnerability that comes my way and that comes your way as well, and the awful dangers that there are. I thought about this passage. I want you to notice here, first of all, the source of Jonah's unhappy state. Now, he was a Christian man. He knew the Lord's will. There's no doubt about that. The Lord made it plain to him. He knew he could pray. He was in touch with the Lord at times. Of course, he's in union with the Lord all the time, but his communion at times wouldn't have been that good because he was a wee bit walking a wee bit far off, I fear, at times. But in spite all of the blessing that the Lord had bestowed upon him, Jonah was a man, and there's no question about it, he was actually jealous because the Lord showed favor to Nineveh. He was filled with resentment because of that. And he actually had a problem here with his own, we'll say his ego, because if you look in chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Now, whenever the Lord didn't overthrow Nineveh, and the Lord blessed his word, and the Lord converted Nineveh almost to a man, when that happened, Jonah faded into insignificance. And there was no glory given to him. And he became bitter and resentful and jealous. And it is true to say that some of the people that are most used by the Lord are hardly even noticed. I'm not going to go into it this morning. I'll mention it next week. But most of the congregation here, all of you indeed, Christians, have done what you could for the mission. And most people don't notice that. They don't notice that. They tend to notice, well, he's leading and he's preaching and there's the wee girl there, she's singing. But they never notice the other things. So important. So important in the work of the Lord. Here's this man who was prominent in the preaching, and now he's not even mentioned. But notice his attitude there. In verse 1 again of chapter 4, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Would it be right this morning to say that here was a man and he really had mistaken patriotism? He loved this country and there's nothing wrong with that. And he hated the thought of these people being able to threaten the national security of his own country. He maybe was proud of his own people in some way or another. But here was a man who had mistaken patriotism because he hated these people to such an extent he didn't really want them to be saved. And that's what makes the passage so strange for us. He had no love for the welfare of the Ninevites. Now, I'm not saying that he had to agree with anything that they did. I'm not saying that he had to compromise in any way to appease them, because he wasn't to do that. The Lord didn't tell him to do that. But he was to go and to preach to them. And out there in Northern Ireland, and we narrow it down to McGabbrie, seeing that's where we are for one more meeting today. There are people in McGabbrie and their actions and their words, and we've heard their words and seen their actions, and indeed seen the result of their actions. They are hateful to the believer. You wouldn't want to be involved in those things. And you do not take any joy in listening to men who seem to be very happy to continually, with almost every other word, is taking the Lord's name in vain. We don't like that. And we do not like the way people behave in that way. But folks, we must continue to love their souls for the Lord. Because there's a great lesson here. I'm sure if I was Jonah, I would not have liked these people. I would not have liked their idolatrous behavior. I would not have liked their arrogance. I wouldn't have liked the danger that they posed to the country there. But Jonah didn't seem to have any concern. If you look with me, please, in verse 9 and 10 of, yes, it's chapter 3, verse 9, sorry, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, that is a plant, for which thou hast not labored, neither maids did grow, which came up on the night and perished in the night. And should not I spurn Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Most people believe that the 60,000, the 60,000 people there, that they were infants, and then you had the adults after that. Well, what a tremendous bitterness there was in this man. In fact, some of those verses in chapter 4 are a devastating critique of Jonah. And what an indictment these words are about him. And what was the source of his unhappiness? It was himself. It was himself. It was his bitterness. It was his resentment of these people. There's a word over there in Hebrews in chapter 12. It says to us in verse 15, and you can turn to it, I read it. It says that, "Looking diligently, lest any man should fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." The word defiled there carries a thought of pollution. And it means to taint or to contaminate or to sully, to leave a person, well, they'd be unable to worship properly. They'd be unable to offer prayer properly. They'd be unable to enjoy fellowship properly. They'd be unable to serve the Lord in an acceptable way. And that is what was happening, this man Jonah. He was a chosen instrument. But God is showing us a lesson here. If we are filled with resentment, now you need to hate sin. There's no question about that. And we do not take any lessons from anyone in telling us how we're to overlook sin, because the Lord doesn't do that. But we need to love the sinner. And as I said, I've narrowed it down to McGabry, and there are people there involved in all kinds of things that bring dishonour to the Lord. And many of them haven't come to listen, but we need to pray on for them. I'd like you to pray on for them after the mission is over. Even for those who have come along, that the Lord might have mercy upon them, because we're like this man Jonah. We have a responsibility. A responsibility to follow the Lord's leading and to bring his word to the multitudes that are without the Lord. You can also notice, and I just want to mention that, he was a wee bit concerned about himself, because in chapter 4, I, me, and my are mentioned at least a dozen times. You see, the attention was away from him, and he didn't like it. He didn't like it. And there's a lesson there for us too as Christians. If other Christians get more attention than you, don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. If I hear of preachers across the country who are seeing thousands won to Christ, there's no one in Northern Ireland happier than me, even if we only see ones and twos. No one happier. Don't be jealous of other Christians. It grieves the Lord. It harms the work. And more than that, it can be a hindrance in the work of the Lord. But not only the source of this awful and happy state, but notice also that this resentment always has a negative effect. Now, such a state as we find Jonah in always has a very profound and negative effect. Was Jonah rejoicing in what the Lord had done? How he was able to sit outside the city and wonder what would happen to the city is more than I know. Because if you look there at the end of verse 5, it says that he sat under the booth, that is. And he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He already had saw what had become of the city. The Lord had owned the word that was preached. He prepared the hearts of the people. As he preached, people were brokenhearted. And they were genuinely turning to the Lord. That is what was happening in the city. But it says there, he sat there to see what would become of the city. Such a negative effect his attitude had upon him. In verse 6, you notice there that it mentions his grief. Well, his grief is the same word that is used in chapter 1 and verse 2 to refer to the wickedness of the people of Nineveh. A very strong word, referring to great wickedness. And yet the same word is transformed. So his grief, what was his grief? His grief was wickedness in the sight of the Lord. That's what it was. And this attitude that he had a very, very negative effect upon him. In fact, it was eating him up. It was eating him up. Because the Lord had been good to these people. And as you and I think of, well, we'll not just mention McGarvey, it could be anywhere, and how the Lord can save people. We've had people in the tent from some very, very difficult backgrounds. And when they were not converted, you and I would not have had any time for their behavior. But the Lord saved them. We're glad that they're saved. We're glad they came to the tent. We would want to make sure, folks, that we do not find ourselves in the same similar situation to Jonah. But continue to pray on. Look to the Lord and see men not as trees walking, but as those that have a soul. A soul that needs to be saved. Now, this man, Jonah, even when he's preached, the Lord had chosen him, and this was an unusual situation because the Lord had chosen him, and yet after he preached, he's absolutely no use. No use to any of them that had come to the Lord. He had no messages of encouragement. He was so caught up in himself. And he was sitting there wondering, maybe things will change and maybe it hasn't went the way I see it. If you had just been saved in Nineveh, would you have went to Jonah and said, Mr. Jonah, would you explain to me how to grow as a Christian? Or could you help me? Advise me? You wouldn't have went to him. Because he's sitting here in his grief or his wickedness of heart. And he's sitting there and he's completely negative regarding what the Lord has done. Folks, what the Lord did then, he's still able to do. He's still able to do it. And he's able to transform the most notorious people in any of our villages. Indeed, anywhere in our land. And when people are converted and they need direction and they need encouragement, it's good to know that they can go to a Christian. It's good to know that they feel they can come to you or me and say, well, could you advise me what to do? I want to continue to grow as a Christian. I don't want to go back to the way I was, but I want to go forward. He was in a position where he was no real contribution to the work. Not an enviable position. Whenever a Christian gets to the point where they're so filled with bitterness, hardness, and indifference, and selfishness, and jealousy, that they're no contribution to the work, they're very, very unhappy. It's a very, very negative situation to be in. But I believe that Jonah could easily have put people off. He could easily have put people off by the way he behaved. I wonder what the Ninevites thought when they saw him. They listened, there's no doubt, and he must have a tremendous power in preaching because so many of them were saved. But now he's outside, he's sitting under this wee garden, he wants to die. Is it not right to say that he was so twisted that nothing seemed right? Nothing seemed right. He just said, the Lord, it's better for me to die than to live. How was it? He was living in revival blessing, that which every minister ought to be praying for. And every preacher ought to be desiring in revival blessing, but no, he was sitting there and he was full of resentment. Could have put people off. And I've drawn your attention this morning to this man because I want you to pray on for McGarvey and for the country. And we know, folks, that unconverted people have come to the tent and they've gone away again, but please pray on for them. Pray on for Akali. Pray on for McGarvey. The tent mission ends today and no one comes to the Lord. Pray on anyway. When people are behaving in a way that you hate and they are saying things that you do not like to hear, pray on for their soul. Pray on for their soul that the Lord will have mercy upon them. Because I want you to notice something here, and this is a third thought. God still loved Jonah and he still wanted to bless Jonah. He still loved Jonah. Yes, he was sitting there as twisted as could be. Full of jealousy. Nothing positive to contribute. There's no doubt about that. But the Lord still loved him and wanted to use him. He could justly have said, well, Jonah, you're just a hindrance in the work now. I'm going to take you home out of the road. God could justly have done that. In fact, sometimes you read there in Corinthians 11 about, if we do not examine our hearts, for this cause many are sick and weak among you, and many sleep. Many are dead. The Lord took them away because they're a hindrance in the work. The Lord could have done that with Jonah. But notice there, if you look at the beginning of verse 6, it says there, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. I mentioned it to you. It was that little plant. And made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Now, you might think, well, how would the gourd deliver him from his grief? It's only protecting him from the sun. But he should have seen the goodness of God. He should have seen the goodness of God. He should have seen that the fact that because God had shown great favor to Nineveh didn't mean that he didn't love him. Because God had compassion and mercy upon Nineveh did not mean that he loved Jonah any less. He provided a shelter for him. No, he didn't deserve it, but God provided it anyway. And folks, sometimes when we feel the Lord the most, it's then we see him to be the most gracious to us. Over there in the book of Psalms again, Psalm 78. Psalm 78, there's just a few verses there. I think they're important. Psalm 78, verse 35. Says, and they remembered that God was their rock. That was good for them when they remembered that. And the high God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. You ever notice that those who can cause great difficulty and problems are the ones that would seek to come across as the great helper in God's work? They flattered him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For listen to it, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away. It did not stir up all his wrath. Every one of us could look at that verse and say, well, the Lord has dealt with me in that way. I failed him and let him down. And I've grieved the Lord. But the Lord loves me still. And he still wants to use me. There's great concern there for Jonah, as far as the Lord is concerned. In verse 6, right through the verse, evidence that God would have his children walk aright with him. You notice here that God was very long-suffering with Jonah. Jonah, first of all, wouldn't go and preach. Nothing went right until he said, okay, I'll do it. And then when he did go and preach and the Lord really blessed, that should have encouraged him. He was full of bitterness. He just wanted to die, he said. A bit like the children of Israel, better for us to stay in Israel and die. That was rubbish. He just wanted to die. And then when the Lord provided a gird for him to show him his goodness, he was still bitter. He was still bitter. But the Lord comes. And if you look there, and we've read them already together, I think, in verse 8, where it says there, it came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. And he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. What's going to become of this man? If you take a look through this wee book, you will see that God's providential dealings with Jonah had shown him God's love. God had everything ordered for his ultimate good. God had prepared the way. In chapter 1, verse 17, God prepared a fish. That was greatly needed. See if Jonah. And here in chapter 4, in verse 6, God had prepared a plant. He needed that as well ultimately to see that God was still being good to him. But you notice there that God prepared a worm to eat away this plant so that it died, and to try to shake Jonah up, having to realize what he was doing. In verse 8 of chapter 4, the Lord prepared a wind, again to draw attention to himself that he was in control of it all. But for Jonah, the state of his heart was the way to nowhere, folks. He didn't have the compassion he should have had. He didn't have the love and care that he should have had. And again, I'm emphasizing, I'm not saying that he should have agreed with anything that they were doing in Nineveh.
But I should have preached from a full heart. And I should have said, Lord, give me a burden for these people. And saying, Lord, I hope you don't have mercy upon them. There's unrest in his heart. There's unhappiness in his heart. And so it is with any Christian, me included, if we get into that state where there's bitterness and there's resentment and there's unhappiness because the Lord is blessing another Christian, because he's using another Christian, because he's saving those that we feel are not deserving of his mercy. May the Lord help us to stay away from this which has been absolutely destructive for Jonah's own blessing. He didn't know anything of joy whenever he was down there in Nineveh. But I want you to notice a final thought here, and it is reflection upon all of this by us. Can we recognize ourselves in this man's story? I can. I put my hand up and say that sometimes we don't have the burden for the lost we should have. Sometimes we see people and they even say things to us that are really maybe rude and really ungodly statements. And we think, boy, you know, I know you're gone and you nearly deserve it. Well, I can say that I felt like that and we shouldn't feel like that. We should always remember that the story of Jonah. Preached, God used him, many were converted. And almost uniquely in the Bible, he wasn't happy to see that. He wasn't happy to see it. But I believe that whenever the Lord spoke to him there at the end, in verse 10, and the Lord then said, the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gird, for the which thou hast not laboured, neither maids did grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much cattle also. You know why I feel that the Lord really spoke to him? Because this book was penned by Jonah. It was penned by Jonah. He didn't simply brush over the Lord's dealing with him and say, well, I preached and the Lord saved in Nineveh, but he went into all the details. And he shows us a very clear picture of himself, as sometimes they say when they go before an artist, he paints it warts and all. Warts and all. And I believe that, of course, he was writing under inspiration, but all the detail is here included that we might reflect upon his life. I believe in the end that Jonah realized the error of his ways. He realized that the condition he'd allowed himself to drift into had no contribution to make to himself or to the work. That he needed to get into close fellowship with the Lord again. And to ask the Lord for a burden for souls. For a love for the souls of men and women. And why I brought this message this morning, folks, is this. As I said, there may be people attend the tent today and have attended in other days, and they've really no time for the gospel. And certainly McGabry has shown us that they're not gospel greedy. Some very pleasant people to talk to, but they're not gospel greedy. And at this moment in time, they're lost on the broad road that leads to destruction forever. And we do not want to leave them there. We need to pray on and pray through. And let's not be resentful towards them, but let's love them for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And as far as each other's concerned, if I have something against you, I need to put it right. I need to do it now. Because God's work is more important than me and you. And therefore, we need to look at our own hearts and make sure that I haven't got the spirit of Jonah. But rather, I know that I have a clear conscience before the Lord. May the Lord bless you, your thoughts, your hearts this morning. Trust